By the 1840s, you had such paramount researchers at leading institutions like the Paris Academy of Medicine, such paramount researchers as Jean-Antoine Villamin, who was declaring openly that we can say for sure that scurvy is indeed infectious because it breaks out in clusters in prisons or on ships. That is to say, one guy gets it, soon others get it. Well, there's lesson number one for this lecture here on determining whether a disease is caused by a germ, and that is that when something breaks out in clusters, it is not evidence at all that you have an infectious disease, quite the opposite. An infectious disease always breaks out of clusters, spreads into the general population, affects everybody, young and old, male and female, does not discriminate in general. Certainly, some people can be healthier than others, but basically, it's going to cut across the population. A disease that remains clustered is necessarily a non-infectious disease. That is a disease that is not caused by germs. And thus, this is the a situation when you see a disease break out in clusters and remain in clusters, it's a sure sign that you are, in fact, dealing with a non-infectious disease. But this was, of course, not thought about very carefully. The idea was if it's in clusters, it's going to spread. This is the same kind of mistake that was later made with the AIDS epidemic. So the treatment and the prevention of scurvy continued on an infectious basis throughout the 1800s, in the Crimean War coming into the 20th century, also in World War I. As late as that, soldiers at the front lines who had developed scurvy were quarantined and separated from the other soldiers. The treatments were the standard antibiotics of the day, which just happened to be mercury and arsenic and quinine and strychnine. Don't think that's too funny. They did, in fact, kill germs. And those were antibiotics, without a doubt. Of course, they tended to kill the patient, too. But doctors swore by the results of these drugs. And so the treatment and the prevention were, in fact, causing a lot of the problem with scurvy. The measures to control scurvy based on germs actually led to outbreaks of scurvy. For example, in the right around the turn of the century, around 1900, there was an epidemic, a growing epidemic of scurvy among babies. The reason was, unknown to researchers at the time, was that the process of pasteurization was in fact going on to boil the milk and get rid of germs. And this was also destroying the vitamin C in the milk, so that the babies were getting milk without vitamin C and were starting to develop scurvy by the hundreds and then by the thousands in the United States and Europe. And the American Pediatric Association quickly did a study at this time. They did notice the connection to the milk. They could see that something having to do with the milk was related to scurvy. But their conclusion was that it wasn't that the milk was being pasteurized and thus some nutritional ingredient was being destroyed, but rather that the milk wasn't being pasteurized hot enough and hard enough so that the deadly scurvy bacteria was getting through. So, of course, they boiled it all the hotter and harder, and scurvy continued to spread like wildfire among American and European babies. Now, you have to understand at this time that the successes of Drs. Robert Koch and Louis Pasteur in France and Germany were in discovering germs now as the basis of infectious disease had inspired a whole generation of microbiologists, medical researchers, and scientists who were coming out of the medical schools and who wanted to find germs as the basis of disease, because Robert Koch had successfully isolated the tuberculosis bacillus as the cause of tuberculosis, which it is. Tuberculosis is caused by a bacterium, and you can prove it using a set of tests known as Koch's postulates. At this time, scientists now wanted to isolate these new germs, these bacteria, as the cause of everything. Vitamin deficiencies of probably tennis elbow, certainly everything they could get their hands on, they would isolate a germ. And so you could, in these scurvy patients, in fact, quite a number of germs were being isolated. In fact, every single laboratory seemed to come up with a different bacterium and said, this is the cause of scurvy. And another lab would say, no, this is the cause of scurvy. The reason was, and here's lesson number two, is that in your bodies and in mine, every person is filled with germs, bacteria, viruses, whatever, plenty of germs, most of which cause no disease at all. The fact is that the great majority of microbes out there that we're contacting every day cause nothing. We know the exceptions by name because of the terrible diseases they cause. Measles, polio, flu, herpes, hepatitis. These are exceptions. But the vast majority of viruses in your body right now cause nothing at all. And you've never noticed the diseases, and therefore, you don't even have a name for these viruses. It wasn't until the last 20 or 30 years we even had the technology to know that these viruses exist or to isolate them. At this time, bacteria were easier to isolate than viruses, and so plenty of bacteria were being found. And so if you want to say that a certain disease is caused by a certain bacterium, all you have to do is go to the patient and start poking around the lymph nodes or the blood or somewhere, and you're going to find plenty of bacteria. And you'll find new bacteria most of the time, and you'll be able to say, this is the cause, or this is the cause. So lesson number two is that it's always possible to isolate a germ from anyone sick or healthy. That doesn't tell you anything. You need to have actual scientific standards by which you say, this germ causes this disease. And that's what Koch's postulates were all about, and we'll be explaining that a little bit later. With scurvy, it continued to spread, continued to be maltreated until the 1930s. It was not until modern biochemistry, or really just organic chemistry, made it possible to isolate and crystallize ascorbate, the vitamin C compound itself, and prove that even the tiniest amounts of it could cure and prevent scurvy 100% of the time. And finally, with that advance, it was now clear even the microbe hunters at that point lost their interest in the germs and acknowledged scurvy was caused by vitamin deficiency, which we know to this day. But it was definitely delayed for at least 150 years, that discovery, because of the search for germs. And that's the conclusion many scientists now reach. But they don't teach this anymore in the medical textbooks in school, because it's simply too embarrassing an episode.